Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. If you get a chance, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure to subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or put up any brand new content. Did a live stream last night. We'll be doing another one tonight at 8 p.m. And that's why it's important to hit that bell button so you don't miss it. I know a lot of you guys get busy during the day and you come home, you're a little tired, and sometimes you just fall asleep or, you know, and don't forget, you don't have to watch it live. You can always go back and watch it anytime at youtube.com/Tuttle. Ugh, what a day I've had so far. My mom is, I'm going down with her because imagine this, people. My mom is in her 70s. She has never, ever had to go through the process of buying a home. And she's doing that. And she's like me. She gets stressed out. She's a little sensitive. Speaking of sensitive, I'm going to get into what happened to what I did to the stray cat this morning by accident. But I'll finish this story first. So my mom is wanting to buy this house. She put in an offer. Now she found out the deposit. I also have done this before, though. In my early to mid-20s, I bought a home in the historic district in Sanford, Florida, in Seminole County. And that was a really, really stressful process the first time that I ever had to go through it. Because it seems like every time you think you're done, like, yes, I'm getting the house, something else comes up. You either have to do another home inspection, you got to do a termite inspection, all the closing costs, you got to have your credit and all that stuff. And my mom's got good credit. Matter of fact, thanks to my dad, she's being a baller and just paying for it straight cash, homie. But they want the offer to come in. We made the offer today. My mom did. And now they're going to want 10% down. And I had said, whoa, hold the phone. You haven't even had an inspection done on the home. Because that is important. Like I said yesterday, they couldn't even tell me the last time the roof had been replaced and the home was made the same year or a couple of years after I was born. And there's no way that, if they are, no way should my mom buy this. But I wanted to make sure that even though she put the deposit down, that she would be able to get it back if she didn't like what she saw with the home inspection. Because that is very, very important. You don't want your mom to buy a place that's going to be a money pit, like in the movie Tom Hanks, where just everything needs to be fixed. So she's kind of been stressing out about that, but I told her, look, she's got to relax. By the way, nobody should ever take advice from me. Because when it comes to real estate, I ended up refinancing my home. It wasn't my idea. My ex-wife wanted a wedding up in Savannah, Georgia. And I'm not saying anything. It was a great wedding. But man, that really put us in a hole when we refinanced and got some money out of the house to be able to pay for the wedding. Ugh. It was funny the first time that rate increase came after taking the refinance. I was like, ooh, in trouble. I could already see the warning signs. So, yeah, I've made mistakes when it comes to buying a home or real estate, but I've been using Ian Hanna. Ian Hanna has really, really helped me out with a lot of advice. And I would kind of be a hypocrite that if my own mom was buying a house, I didn't use the guy that I talk about on my show all the time, Ian Hanna. If you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Brevard, Flagler, Volusia areas, make sure you go to IanHannaHomes.com because I want to see firsthand. And I got to tell you, Ian Hanna, kind of sort of a pimp. He knows everything. He knew how to get a hold of these people. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And I just wanted to be firsthand to be able to tell you how professional he is. So just go to IanHannaHomes.com. So I did all that. And then this morning, I went to work out. And I don't go to a gym or anything, so it's not like I went anyplace. I'm kind of too cheap to even, like, well, a lot of you guys probably think I couldn't afford it. But no, I could afford it. I'm just trying to save money. But I usually go on my run. I try to get 60 minutes in on a run. And, you know, push-ups in between when I take a break, all that stuff. Come in, not paying attention. And usually, I told you guys about the stray cat we've kind of adopted. This little bitch is sleeping in the fifth wheel now. Now, the great thing is that the cat is using the litter box. That's great. But the cat's getting really fat. And the cat goes outside because the cat is a little bit of a hunter. It is a cold-blooded killer. Killing lizards. Does not eat them. So for any of you guys want to come at me, like, oh, that's dangerous. Don't let the cat eat the lizards. No, the cat's not eating the lizards. I've even seen the cat kill a bird. That's what cats do. But I was coming back from my workout today, and I opened up the door. And the cat runs into the door just right when I'm closing it. And I kind of smashed the cat's tail in the door. And I felt really, really bad about it. A lot of you guys probably think I'm insensitive or I have no feelings. That's not the case. Now, I could do manly things. I don't want any of you guys to think I'm like one of those tree hugger, PETA, hippie people. No, that's not the case. Because I have like slaughtered animals that we've raised. I've been there when they've been butchered and clean. The whole process, feeding right when you first get them to when you put them on the plate. Hell, even to when you poop them out into the toilet. I've hit every aspect of the whole process. The reason why I don't want to be lumped in with the PETA people, because a lot of them don't realize. You realize these big places that grows the vegetables or big fields of grain and stuff. A lot of the PETA people want to think that the people that eat meat or do that stuff are worse for the environment? No. Sometimes some of the vegetable farming and just any of that type of stuff when it comes to produce takes as much toll on the land as it does to raise cows and stuff. It's simple, plain facts. And I know a lot of people would debate me on that. So I'm definitely not one of those PETA people, but back to what I'm saying, I am a little sensitive bitch. I am. But I can also do the manly things and you know, if it comes down to it, life or death, between me starving, I could do any bit of that stuff if I had to. I remember the first time, like I've talked about this before, the white chickens. And Harvey the turkey had the white chickens wring their necks, well, cut off their necks with a hatchet. They ran around. And just the contrast between red blood and white feathers, ugh. Couldn't my dad, bought a bunch of Rhode Island Reds, which is a brand of chicken that's a little bit darker, that has a reddish color. But I swear to God, I had nightmares that night. I also remember that I used to go hunting with my dad. I've never killed anything when I've gone hunting. Well, I will back that up. I did kill a little blue jay one. Not a little blue. It wasn't a baby blue jay. It was a blue jay that could fly. I shot that with a BB gun. And my dad always told me, you do not kill things you don't intend on eating. Because it is disrespectful to that animal. But the first time I ever had a deer lined up with my little 410 rifle, I couldn't do it. I was so worried that I embarrassed my dad. Because him and a bunch of his hunting buddies, because my dad and me raised some of the best walker hounds, hunting dogs. And the agreement they always had, like, if you kill a deer in front of somebody else's dog, you got to give them half of the deer alone. And there's been so many, like, things that have happened in my life when it comes to animals. And I do think that's why it's made me sensitive. But I also think that I'm sensitive because I spent a lot of time with my mom while my dad was out earning a living. So I also killed Harvey the turkey. But back to the deer thing, I did embarrass my dad because I had the deer dead to rights and I couldn't pull the trigger. I could not do it. And I did. Now looking back on it, I could almost like hear it in my ears that one of his buddies, I could hear him whispering, "Pussy. Wayne raised a pussy." And yeah, that did embarrass me because I also wanted to make my dad proud. There was also another time we were raising potbelly pigs to raise and sell. And one of them got out of the pen. Nobody was home. I tried to take care of it on my own. And these potbelly pigs weren't like full-bred potbelly pigs. We ended up, I think a wild boar got in and bred one of the female potbelly pigs. Those were some mean little bastards. Mean as hell. But one of them got out, and I tried to gently place him over the fence back in the pen, and I dropped him, and he landed like head first, nose first. And I think the cartilage in the nose got pushed up into his brain because as soon as he hit the ground, started seizuring like he was Michael J. Fox. I know Michael J. Fox doesn't have seizures, but I was just trying to give you a comparison. And the pig died. I felt so bad about that. Felt really, really bad about that. Man, now looking back on it, when I have time to reflect on my childhood and my teenage years and all that stuff, I've talked about the childhood trauma when I was even younger than that. Yeah, I can really see why I've had the problems that I've had. Because I had to bury that pig. And it really did affect me. And I've had dogs die. See, my dad was a real man's man. I told you how we raised the walker hounds, and we bred them from this ridgeback. If you don't know a ridgeback, they got a spiked hair right down the spine of their back on these walker hounds. And this was back when we had the fires, 1998 or 1999 wildfires. And all the land, everything around the house, our house, the double wide we had in DeLeon Springs, didn't burn down, but my dad didn't want the dogs to burn up in their enclosure, so he let the dogs out of the pen so they could just run off away from the fire. But John, the Ridgeback that we started the whole bloodline with, he was too old. I mean, he was limping. If he laid down for a really, really long time, he got stiff. and the fire was closing in, and it just didn't look like he was going to be able to get away from the fire. And my dad didn't want the dog to burn alive. That was the first time that I really saw my dad. He never cried. First time I saw my dad cry was when his brother Rick passed away, died from cancer. That was the first time, and I was in my 40s. That was the first time I ever saw my dad cry. But I could tell that really affected my dad, because instead of letting the dog burn in the fire, my dad ended up shooting him. Put him down. I mean, he didn't have much time left as it was. And before a lot of you guys come at me, why didn't he put him in the truck? Well, guess what? We had all the family heirlooms. I know that sounds weird for somebody that was running from a fire that was in a double-wide that was around a double-wide trailer. You're like, what heirlooms? No, my dad was a big gun collector. And I'm glad he was, because he does have some pretty valuable ones he left me. And a lot of people probably would think that that would be insensitive. It was heartless. No. In my opinion, that was a very compassionate thing. And I'm glad my dad was strong enough to be able to do that. So, long story short, the reason I'm talking about all this is because I slammed the cat's door, slammed the cat's tail in the door of the trailer. And I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't break the cat's tail, because she's able to stick it straight up in the air. And if it was broken, I don't think she would be able to do that. But I still think I'm going to take her to the vet tomorrow. See if she's been, like, had all of her shots. And I think she might even be pregnant, because she's getting fat. Getting really fat. And I don't know how, because she's always outside during the day, comes in and sleeps all night. She's always running around. But man, that cat thought like I was trying to kill her. And cats can make some weird ass sounds when they're trying to get away from people. And I felt so bad about it. It's practically ruined my whole day. And I know a lot of you guys are like, pussy. Your dad, well, I don't believe in religion or the afterlife, so I don't think he's thinking anything. But I'm sure a lot of people are like, yeah, your dad's up in heaven calling you a pussy, or the F word for gays. No, it's not the case. It'll take me a little bit of time. You know, I'll tell you how much of a sensitive-ass bitch pussy I am. I was leaving a Sunoco. And I don't feel as bad about this one as I do other animals that I've accidentally killed or run over, roadkill. Oh, that's also the other thing. I'm not going to wreck myself or my vehicle. Might as well go with it. My vehicle. I'm not going to put my life in danger to miss hitting an animal. But these sandhill cranes are the cockiest birds out there. Or they're the biggest dumbasses in the animal kingdom. Because they'll walk right out into a busy highway where the speed limit is 55 and above. And they're just like, oh, these people will stop for me. Well, this one didn't. And I even slowed down and still hit it. That ruined my day, but not as bad as the other ones. Because, come on. Oh, come on, man. You guys are by the highway all the time. How do you know that these cars aren't dangerous? So that's why I also think they're dicks and just cocky all alone. And I'm sorry. I know that this probably sounded like a therapy session. But you know what? It does make me feel better. I also think that people like reality and like to have the curtain pulled back on people that they support with the content that they put out. Do you think a lot of other podcast hosts or content providers, content creators, even broadcasting hosts on the radio would share a lot about this. No, I mean, Bubba would, but Bubba shared everything with you guys. I think he still does, but what I'm trying to say is I'm just trying to keep it real. And you know what? Me by saying keeping it real doesn't make it seem like I'm keeping it real. It makes me seem like a goddamn poser. So if you've been consuming the content or listened to me on the various shows that I've worked with over the 20 years of my broadcasting experience, you would know that I am really a creature of habit, even though a lot of people think that I'm irresponsible. I'm not. Like, as soon as I get up, first thing I do, check my emails, because I do put my phone on do not disturb, only for certain people. You know, certain people can call me in case there's an emergency. But the first thing I do is I get up, I start looking at my news feed, I'm looking at some of the stories, and I saw Brent Hatley had sent out a tweet, and I saw this video, and it's a big-ass Christmas tree on fire, and I was like, oh, did somebody set the New York City big-ass Christmas tree that they put up every single year? By the way, I really do think that it is, why not just get a fake Christmas tree? Why does the city of New York feel like they got to cut down the biggest, prettiest, most handsome-looking tree that's probably been alive almost as long as I have been, and just cut it down and throw it away at the end of the year? I wonder if that, well, I mean, it kind of relates to it. One of my favorite things to do with the Christmas tree, especially when they get dried out, you want to leave a Christmas tree out and let it dry up a little bit, and those things go up. Like, you don't even really have to put any gas on it. Because once you get a dry Christmas tree started, oh, man, game over, man, game over. But Brent Hatley had posted a video, and it wasn't the, it's not the national Christmas tree, but it is the world-famous Christmas tree that when you go to New York or Manhattan, everybody goes and looks at this tree. It wasn't that tree. It was the tree that Fox News has out in front of their building. And Brent Hatley said, I guess is what they meant by a war on Christmas.
Good morning, everybody. Live from Studio M. It is Wednesday, December 8th, 2021. Normally during the Christmas season, we start the program by showing an outside shot of our all-American Christmas tree on Fox Square.
So what... Fox News always panders. Look, I'm a proud American, but what makes your Christmas tree more American than any other Christmas tree out there? I'm just asking a serious question. I don't want any of you guys to think that if you're just a new listener or supporter of the Tuttle Daily Podcast, I don't support either side. And I know, it's sad that I got to cover my own ass on this, because if I say anything against the conservatives, I'm a libtard. If I say anything against the libtards, I'm a conservative nut. I'm a Trump supporter. I hate them all. They're all a bunch of crooks. But what makes your tree any more American than anybody else? Because you're pandering to your base. I mean, you guys might as well, because this is Fox and Friends, the audio that I'm playing. You guys might as well be a morning zoo nut hut show, because you're not real news. Isn't this a big conflict of interest that you're covering a story that actually happened for the corporation that you're working for? You guys didn't want to talk much about the sex scandal that you guys had going on at Fox News. How come you guys didn't want to talk about that one? No. But when somebody burns down your all-American Christmas tree, yeah, you're definitely going to talk about it.
But last night, shortly after midnight, somebody climbed up in the tree and lit it on fire.
I'm not saying that I'm happy to see this happen. I'm not. Because, I mean, some people could have gotten hurt. This guy that was crazy enough to climb up halfway up the tree. Why did you even climb up the tree? It almost seems like this guy was trying to show out. I'm going to climb up halfway up the Christmas tree. No, my friend. You didn't have to climb up it. but I got to respect your hustle and commitment. I guess you were trying to make a statement, or maybe you were just some crazy lunatic. Who knows? But I got to tell you, it looked pretty goddamn cool. It looked cool. And I don't know if they water these big-ass Christmas trees. Do they water the main one that everybody goes and looks at? You know how they always do the official lighting of the New York City Christmas tree? I mean, that's the big one. And why even have another Christmas tree? The only people that are coming out to see your Christmas tree are Trump supporters or just the right wing. Nobody's going to New York City. Hey, baby. Hey, kids. We're going to New York City, and we're going to see the Fox News Christmas tree. Daddy, what about the famous one? No, we're not seeing that one. We're going to see in the Trump tree.
It's beginning to look a lot like arson.
I love it when some of these 24-hour news stations try to make a joke. And I'm sure, I don't know, maybe because I think that was Brian Kilmeade. And I got to tell you, say what you want. Brian Kilmeade is a really, really nice guy. He is. I met him while working at the Bubba the Love Sponge show. He came in as a guest. And a lot of these big, big name guests that come in, because Brian Kilmeade is a hell of a broadcaster. He does a radio show. Plus, he does Fox and Friends. And a lot of these guys, they come in with ego. They don't give you a time of day. I had never met Brian Kilmeade before, and Brian Kilmeade gave me more time than Hogan did. And Hogan used to be in the studio every single day. The only time Hogan ever talked to me was when he needed water or food or just needed anything. That's the only time Hogan ever would talk to you, is when he needed something. But Brian Kilmeade, no. He took the time. He asked me how long that I've been doing radio and stuff. And I don't think Brian Kilmeade wrote that joke. I'm sure it was some intern or producer. Hey, instead of saying it's starting to look a lot like Christmas, hey, what about it's starting to look a lot like arson?
Right now there is somebody who is in custody and is being interviewed by local police.
Who sets a Christmas tree on fire?
Well,
I mean, it's just part of the rampant. No city is safe. Yeah. No person is safe from the subway on down. Here you are at 48th and 6th, right in Midtown Manhattan. It has become a tourist attraction.
like I said before, it's no way becoming a tourist attraction. Like I said, if people go to New York City, Manhattan, any of the boroughs that live around that area, they go see the official New York City Christmas tree. That's the one that gets televised. It gets televised all across every single network. The only network that covers the lighting of the Fox News Christmas tree is Fox News. And it's not a tourist attraction. Maybe it is. Maybe people don't want to go out there. Maybe they don't want to go into the crowds to see the official one. But like I said, nobody is making plans to go to New York City for a holiday vacation to see the Fox News Christmas tree. It's just not happening.
Every year it gets more and more people, and just one psycho goes up, ignites this thing. Thank goodness we have very excellent security. Within 2 seconds, he was tackled to the ground.
What? How is that good security? How is that anything close to being considered good security that they tackle the guy after the tree is already burning to the ground? Why, where were they when the guy, this lunatic that you call him, which he is a lunatic, for anybody to burn down a Christmas tree and endanger other people's life? Yeah, he is a lunatic, but not great security. You would think that security at Fox News would all be packing. And I know that they got strict gun laws in New York City, but no, I don't consider that great security, because you would think that all security guards would be packing heat.
He was subdued, and then they find out that he's under arrest right now. Massive investigations through the night that took place just after midnight last night. Shannon Bream Show was covering it from Washington, D.C.
So sad. We have security tape around the tree right now when you walk in. No more music, no more tree.
This is where most people, don't read between the lines? Do you see how Fox News is trying to work this? Fox News is trying to work this to get sympathy. And by the way, what are you guys doing? Hiring a bunch of liberals to be your security guards? You guys are all big on the guns and everything, which I am too. I support the Second Amendment. I have my concealed carry. But how do you have security guards without guns? How does security even let somebody get through the barrier? Did you guys not have any barriers up there? That's why I say, did Fox News hire a bunch of liberals or did the liberals infiltrate Fox News? And they're like, hey, let's do this, man. Let's be a sleeper cell inside of Fox News. And then we'll let our buddy, we'll let our pal get through and light this bitch up like it was Burning Man Festival.
I think it tells the bigger story. I mean, since this city is so out of control,
especially
in Midtown Manhattan. Yesterday we were covering
the city we used to love.
Right, but yesterday we're covering stories about raids in Pacific Palisades and Beverly Hills, California, and then in 48th and 6th, this is a tourist attraction from around the globe.
Please stop saying that. Please just stop saying that it's a tourist attraction all around the world. Oh, so you're telling me there's somebody from Japan, Tokyo, lives in Tokyo, and they're like, hey, honey, what would you and the kids like to do for this year's Christmas vacation? Honey, I've always been dreaming to go see the world-famous, all-American Fox News Christmas tree. No, that's not happening. People from Canada, they're not planning their yearly holiday vacation. Any country, it's just not happening. You guys sound like radio people. I know Brian Kilmeade is, but you're kind of like hyping yourself, making yourself look bigger than you are, because, like I said, nobody's coming to see your tree when they got a bigger, better, and more extravagant Christmas tree that's way more famous than the Fox News one.
And they sit there, and this one lunatic is able to penetrate and in a matter of seconds, ignite that tree on fire. Thank goodness there's not other structures around it, but our whole lobby was full of smoke, evidently.
What? You could almost assume that the growing census around the world is that the Americans are the ones that have substance abuse problems. Even though alcohol and tobacco is legal, it's still a drug. It kills way more people than all the other drugs because of cancer or cirrhosis. Because I used to be one of those people in America that drank heavily. But no. Not even close. Like places like the United Kingdom, they drink. Trust me. I always thought that the United Kingdom was the drunkest out of all the countries in the world. But no, I forgot. Well, it kind of is the United Kingdom, because the United Kingdom used to send all their criminals, all their murderers, everybody, the lowest of low when it comes to scum-ass criminals, down to Australia. Now, I've met a few Australians. Look, Hugh Jackman. He played Wolverine. He's an Australian. Everybody loves Hugh Jackman. How do you not like Hugh Jackman? Guy was ripped as hell, played a badass Wolverine. I couldn't see anybody else. Him and Robert Downey Jr., I can't see anybody else playing Wolverine, and I can't see anybody else playing Iron Man. But the Australians beat everybody out when it comes to alcoholism. My dad back in the day, it was like a tradition. My dad, hard day's work. And now looking back on it, I think it might have been like some sexual foreplay. But my dad would always get my mom one Foster's Big Boy. You know, the Foster's can, Australian for beer, mate. But they were the big, thick, short cans. And now looking back on it, I almost kind of think that my dad was like, the Foster's beer can was kind of a representation of his penis. Short and thick. Everybody wants to talk about length. It's not about the length. I mean, some people might like length, but it is. It's way more about girth. But my new news presenter, Amy Sinha, whenever I can't find an audio version of a news story and it's really, really good, I send it to Amy. And Amy is a voiceover artist. She's also a musician. And if you want to check out her website and you want to hire her to do voiceover, just go to amysinha.com. That's AmySinha.com.
People from Australia are getting wasted at a much higher frequency than the rest of the world.
You want to know why? It's because, and I can almost guarantee you, could you imagine if you lived in a country, or hell, Australia is a continent on its own, but could you imagine living in a place where every single animal can kill you in a blink of an eye? Everybody looks at kangaroos as cute and cuddly. I want to go play with a couple of joeys. See if I can get them to come out of the pouch. No. Do not mess with any kangaroos. Kangaroos will make your day go from great to really, really crappy. And they will mess you up. Have you guys ever seen the pictures of some of those yoked up, swolled up kangaroos? Especially the male ones. Like straight up, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. CGI'd into a kangaroo, because they are. They got striations. They got the veins a popping. I mean, their whole body is practically muscle, and you don't want to mess with those. And let's not even forget about all the poisonous snakes that they have. They got the black mambas. They got everything. They got every single thing. Oh, let's not forget about the weirdest animal on the face of the planet. The duck-billed platypus. Duck-billed platypus? Yeah, it looks cute. Guess what? Poisonous little spines that it can stab you with. I mean, it's ridiculous. And we're not even getting on the other reptiles they have. Lizards. I think they got birds. Australia is just like 100 years in the past. So, yeah, I get it. I understand. Hell, I'm not even looking down on them for their alcoholism. I would want to drink, too, if every animal in the country I lived in was trying to kill me.
According to a global drug survey, the world's largest annual drug survey has ranked Australia as the drunkest country on the planet, with Australians getting shit-faced almost twice as frequently as the global average.
Wow. Amy Sinha coming in with the curse words. I talk to her quite often. And she really doesn't curse that much. I wonder if that was ad-lib or part of the story. Because it's been a couple of days since I read it. But, I don't know, it almost sounds kind of weird to hear somebody speaking the King's English, throwing out the S-word. And trust me, I know that the United Kingdom, the one thing that the United Kingdom has over us in America that I wish I had, to be able to say the see you next Tuesday word. And if you don't get what that is, I'm not going to, because a lot of my shows have been getting partially demonetized. So I'm not going to say the see you next Tuesday word, because the biggest fight me and my ex-wife ever got into was at a real radio promotion. We had a reserve table for me, her, my ex-wife, and my friends and her friends. And there was this woman that was sitting at our table, and it said right there, Patrick Tuttle Fowler. And I tried to tell her, hey, you're kind of sitting at our table. Wasn't being rude. And she was just being a complete, absolute bitch towards me. And she just would not let it go. Would not let it go. And if a woman will never let it go, I advise you not to do this to somebody you care about. Like, if you're getting into a fight with a girlfriend, never call her the see you next Tuesday word. Because it's like a hand grenade. It's almost like dropping a nuke, that boy or little man on them. Because it shuts them down completely. Because it's not a word that's used a lot in America. But the C word, the see you next Tuesday word, is like a term of endearment in the United Kingdom. So, I don't know. Sorry, didn't mean to go on a rant there. The Brits are just as dirty as we are.
The Global Drug Survey's 2021 report found that on average, respondents from around the world said that they got drunk, having drunk so much that your physical and mental faculties are impaired to the point where your balance, speech was affected. You were unable to focus clearly on things, and that your concentration and behaviors were very obviously different to people who know you.
I don't drink anymore, but back when I was, like, getting after it, When I was just drink, that's the whole point, right? To get to that point, everything that Amy Sinha just mentioned, that's the whole reason you drink. And it's such a weird, it's not a stimulant, but it's just a weird drug. Because it's almost like you're poisoning yourself every single day. You're poisoning yourself to the point that your body starts malfunctioning. You can't speak right. Your motor functions are completely out the window. And you make bad decisions. You do. Do you know how many people are paying child support for 18 years because of a good night of drinking and they made poor decisions? A lot of people.
14.6 times a year, or a bit more than once a month. Australians, by comparison, got drunk about twice a month, or 27.7 times a year. Trans, non-binary, and intersex Australians were the largest contributors to the trend, getting drunk just over 35 times a year on average.
I could easily see that. I can. Because, look, I don't want anybody to think that I don't support transgender rights. I do. I don't like to be told what to do. I don't like to be judged for who I am. So whatever people do in their personal lives, I really don't care. But you can also see where a lot of these Aussies in the Outback probably wouldn't be that accepting of the transgender community. And I'm sure it's hard to be a transgender in Australia. I mean, I've never been there. I could be way off basis, but I'm just taking a shot in the dark. And I could see where that group of people would have a hard time with the natives of Australia that are judgmental. So, yeah, I can understand why they would drink. I mean, it's just the same way as people here that deal with mental issues or childhood trauma. The people that self-medicate, like I was, I'm a textbook case of somebody that self-medicated just to make their problems disappear.
Followed by cis men, 29.6, and cis women, 20.9, Denmark and Finland with a net.
I can easily see that. Hell, I would want to drink a lot too if I had to wear wooden shoes all the time.
Highest ranking countries, with citizens from each reporting getting drunk 23.8 times a year on average.
Whoa. That, man. Now hearing that stat right there, yeah, I was way deep into it. S-faced and overly drunk at the minimum of 23 times a year. Yeah, how about me having an undefeated season when it comes to that stat? I'm almost sure at the height of my alcoholism, I got drunk 365 to the point where I passed out drunk sleeping every single night. And that's not me exaggerating. That's just me being real and honest. Somebody that has a lot of sobriety going on in their lives right now, that's me just telling you how bad my life was when I was a big drinker.
While Australians may have ranked as the world's biggest binge drinkers, however, they weren't as unhappy about their drinking habits as some. When researchers asked people to consider if they regretted getting drunk or wishing you had drunk less or not drunk at all, Australia ranked 9th in the world. Irish, Polish, and New Zealand respondents had the most regrets about getting drunk, while Denmark had the least. Overall, cis men were the least likely to regret getting drunk.
I've been hearing cis, the term cis used a lot, not S-I-S, C-I-S. Can anybody tell me or explain to me in layman's terms what cis means? Because I've been doing a lot of reading. I just don't understand. I've had a hard time of it getting through my thick-ass, big-ass head. Because, I mean, you already have transgender. Does cis... just, is that non-exclusive or non-inclusive term for, it just covers everything? I would love to hear from you. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuddle@gmail.com. Or leave me a voicemail. 407-270-3044.
By far, the most common regret among survey respondents was that they drank too much too quickly, with almost half of the respondents citing this as a top reason for remorse. This isn't the first time Australia has taken out the top spot in the Global Drug Survey's international rankings either. The 2019 report found that Australian drinkers had the highest rate of requiring emergency medical attention.
Amateurs! Amateurs. I mean, I don't know. Like, I never, like, drank to the point that I had liver failure. Because I always drink a lot of water in the mornings. But I also mix it with alcohol. And I really do think the water flushing out my system really, really did help me not get, like, terminal liver disease, cirrhosis. I think I did bring my liver to the point of it, but the liver is like one of the only organs, I think, in your body that can regenerate. So yeah, my liver was really resistant, and it took a licking, but kept on ticking, and I don't know if it could ever get back to like a fresh liver, but I think it's back into fighting weight.
Well, in 2017, Australians were crowned the biggest bong smokers in the world. This is Amy Sinha reporting for the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Thank you, Amy. I really appreciate it. I just found that to be a fascinating story. If you want to hire Amy to be a voiceover person for your business, your podcast, whatever it may be, go to her website, amysinha.com. That's AmySinha.com. Want to thank everybody that listened to today's show. Don't forget, I'm going to be on Tom and Dan tomorrow at noon. I'm going to be applying, I guess competing, for the open spot to work with Tom and Dan. I don't even know what I'm getting into. I don't even know if I have a shot, but I'm going to go in and I'm going to be throwing haymakers. I'm not going to let some pink-haired MMA fighter that goes by the name Silverback Gorilla or Seth, or Silverback Seth. I don't know. Where are you going with that, Seth? You and your pink hair rolling around on a mat with a man every single day. But that will be on a mediocre time with Tom and Dan at noon on Friday. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button so you get alerted to any time I go live or put up any brand new content. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchUup.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with 2 D's.net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.